Welcome back to Light on Conspiracies, the second part for subscribers only.
I had a conversation. I don't know a lot about finances, but I was talking to this guy who was a financial advisor, and he said to me, do you know how long it would take if the right intention was there to get the world back in balance financially? And I said, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years? He said 48 hours. And yeah. And I have no idea if he was just full of it or whatever, but just the concept of such a fast change with the right intention was just mind-blowing. I mean, even if he was extremely exaggerating and we're talking about like 6 months, it's still absolutely amazing how changes can be done if the intention is there.
Well, I can tell you why he is absolutely right and correct, because that is the model that we use in the Ubuntu Party election campaign, our manifesto. The first point on our manifesto in the South African elections, in the UK elections in 2015, and also in the Australian elections in New South Wales, our manifesto, the first point was that we're going to close down the Reserve Bank, or the privately owned Reserve Bank, and replace it with a People's Bank that is owned by the people for the people. And the money created is with the support and the confidence of the people, which means that today we close down the Reserve Bank. Tomorrow morning it opens. Everyone is still there. All the people go to the banks, to the Reserve Bank, except as of tomorrow morning, the bank no longer prints notes that belong to a private company in Switzerland, but it actually prints notes that now belong to the people of their country. So, suddenly there's no inflation, no tax, no levies, no interest rates. Overnight, all that falls away, because we can print as much money as we need to stimulate our economy. There's never a shortage of money. There should never, ever, ever be a shortage of money if we're going to use money. But it gets to a point that this is not the final solution. This is just the first interim step to release the pressure and the misery and the slavery of the people, to remove them out of that system and give them that breathing space in which they start to believe that there's a new hope, a new possibility, and then also basically create the platform upon which we start building this incredible abundance by working together. And very quickly, the money will disappear from the system and we no longer will need the money.
You know, more or less everyone who's even thought of this and started to make changes in this direction against these federal banks have ended up dead. So what makes you think that the banking system that is there now would just give it freely away and let go of their power?
Well, this is why this one small town strategy is so simple and so brilliant. It is actually insanely brilliant, and it took me 12 years to figure out, because for 12 years we were resisting it, we were fighting it, we were calling, you know, I was saying that money was evil and all that kind of stuff, and you know that, but suddenly you realize that, hold on, we're going about this the wrong way. Okay, it's not the money that's the problem. It's the abuse of the money that's the problem. You understand what I mean? It's the control of the money. So money is just a tool of control. So what we're doing with the one small town, we're using the money system to create a new system. So we're not going against money. In fact, we're going to make more money than any other small town has ever made in the history of capitalism. Not only that, our one small town will overnight and immediately, the moment we implement this and launch onto the stock markets and onto the investors' markets, launch the opportunities for investment in our food growing, farming, production, engineering, technology, etc. When we launch those opportunities for investors, we are creating the most lucrative investment opportunity that has ever existed in the capitalist world. So can you see, we're not opposing anything. We're actually using the tools of capitalism and the greed of capitalism and money itself to create the most successful little model of capitalism in the history of the system. But We're doing it with a completely different, from a completely different perspective. We're doing it from a completely different approach because we're doing it together as one community, united and not divided, working together so that every project, which is a business, which belongs to the investor and to the members of the community together, in which that money is reused and reinvested into new projects and new opportunities, while a portion of it is distributed to the people of the town, while they don't have to pay for any of the services, food, products, anything we do becomes free to the people of our own community. But anyone outside of our community that we sell it to or export it to, obviously they pay. This is why we do it. So it's a very simple system that works so well, and we've had a number of very astute accountants and people in financial industry look at this, and not a single one has ever come back and said this is not going to work. In fact, it's been the opposite. They've all come back scratching their heads with their eyes wide open, shaking their heads in disbelief, saying, I don't know how you do this, but this thing works. This model works, and it's going to work.
Super interesting. Super interesting. Michael,
yeah,
sorry,
Ole, just one thing you said. So all the guys that have opposed the system end up dead. I'm not opposing the system. We're creating a new system. We're not opposing anything. So again, I'm making it very, very clear right up front. We're creating a new alternative and a new social structure without any opposition, resistance, or violence or conflict. That's it. We're using the existing system and the tools of the system to create our new system in which the tools of enslavement will no longer be needed. Yes. Yeah. Well, remember, they will probably react very, very badly, very negatively, but what are they going to do about it? What are they going to do to come into a town or a community or send instructions to the mayors of the towns or to the leaders of the countries or control the system the way they control it? What are they going to do when the soldiers that were previously upholding their rules and regulations are no longer there to uphold it? Because the soldiers that are in their armies right now are the sons and the daughters of the people that live in these towns and these communities. And when they send out the people to these towns and communities to try and shut it down, well, first of all, why are they going to shut it down? Because the entire world, the financial institutions, the financial publications, the newspapers, the TV channels and radio stations are going to be giving us free publicity because unbeknown to them, they don't know where we're going with this. They're just going to see huge financial successes in this town. They don't know that it's leading towards a world without money, right? So they're going to be talking and interviewing the mayor of the town and the successful business owners of the towns, of our town, and talking why, how can you make such incredible successes? So we're going to be getting free publicity. And the financial media is going to be singing the praises of this town, of how quickly they became so successful. It's a fascinating scenario. It truly is what I call a really perverted, disturbing twist in the reality. Very positive, positive twist in using the negative energies to turn them into positive energies.
Listen, Michael, you've been talking about something called promissory notes as well. Could you describe that, please?
Yeah, look, the promissory notes is, I would really suggest that people don't go into that area. It's just, again, it's one of those things that I had to do because I was in the court against the banks. And I had no choice. I didn't have any money, and they suddenly hit me with R1 million bill, and I couldn't pay it. So I had to come up with this idea, which I did. And And at this stage, I remain the only person in South Africa that's managed to pay R1 million debt with a promissory note that I created myself on a piece of paper. There were actually four promissory notes that I paid over a period of about almost 1 year apart. As they kept sending me more and more bills, I just kept making new promissory notes and paying it off to their lawyers. And I think what happened is that after 3 years in the court and eventually in the Constitutional Court, from the Supreme Court to the Constitutional Court, I had those lawyers and the advocates spinning around and running around, and they were spending millions of rands on this court case against one guy, and I was representing myself. It just wasn't worth their time and money anymore. And I think they just took a decision that said, okay, we'll accept this promissory note just to shut him up, because I was getting more and more media support and more public support, and they were just being shown out to be the bad guys. And I think they just said R1 million is nothing. I mean, they write that off in half a second. So I think they just let it go because they didn't want any more bad publicity. But other people that have tried the promissory note route have all been blocked. Their promissory notes have been returned. No, they haven't been returned. Let me make this clear. They've been rejected, but never returned. And again, people don't understand. If they hold onto your promissory note, they're holding onto your money. And they need to return your promissory note to you because that's your intellectual property. It's your money. You've created the value in that promissory note. If they don't give it back to you, they've stolen your money. This is, again, these are all the little things you learn when you spend 3 years in the Supreme Court against the smartest and the highest paid lawyers that money can buy.
Michael, you live in South Africa, which is a country with, we were talking about traumas and emotional baggage and a lot of hurt and wounded emotions in the past and so on. How do you see South Africa today? And is Ubuntu a perfect solution for that situation as well? Because I think if you can make it work there, you would be able to make it work more or less anywhere.
Well, I believe yes. First of all, Ubuntu is perfect for South Africa. But let's go back to your previous statement. Every country, all the people in the world live with severe trauma, of all kinds of trauma, from all kinds of backgrounds and conditions. The Americans live with trauma from the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and now most recently from the Gulf War. And the trauma that comes from that in the USA right now is unimaginable. The so-called vets that are neglected and left to sleep on the street. They send the young boys into war to go and kill innocent people in foreign lands, and they come back to realizing what they've done and how they traumatize other people in other countries. They come home and they suddenly become disenfranchised. They can't find jobs. There are hundreds of thousands of vets in the USA that are completely ignored by the system. And so there's huge trauma in the USA. And the black-white divide in the USA is still huge. There's a big problem in the race groups in the USA. It's hardly ever spoken about. You know, South Africa was chosen as the scapegoat for the whole apartheid thing. But there were equally, if not worse, atrocities happening in other countries that didn't call it by the name apartheid. You know, if you look at Australia and what happened to the original people of Australia that were given the distorted name of aboriginal, as in abnormal, have they completely decimated the original societies of Australia? The Maori people of New Zealand, who, you know, they didn't even give themselves the name Maori. They've got very different original names. The trauma that people carry in all the countries, if you look at Central Europe, the trauma that the people in Germany carry, the atrocities that are being committed against the German people by the so-called allies, who are actually the instigators of the First and the Second World Wars. They caused unimaginable trauma on the German people and continued trauma on the German people. It's just unimaginable. All the lies and deceptions, you know, People still believe that Adolf Hitler started the Second World War. No, Winston Churchill was the instigator in starting the Second World War. And this comes as a shock to so many people. He was driven by the bankers, the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds and the banking elites are behind all the atrocities of at least the last 200 years and way beyond. The banking families that go back thousands of years. So the trauma that's carried by people all over the world is the same kind of trauma. It's just different kind. It has different sources of trauma. So yes, I believe from our travels to more than 30 countries, the presentations that I've done on the origins of humankind, the origins of money, and the philosophy of Ubuntu and contributionism and providing the simple solutions, what I find that I've done this in probably, I think, 400 cities around the world now in the last 10 years. And what I find is that all the people everywhere are equally unhappy. Everyone knows that something dramatically is wrong with the system. People want to get out of it, but they don't know what to do to get out of it. And that is the opportunity that we have with the Ubuntu and contributionist system and model and the one small town strategy to start uniting people and getting just that first small town going. Because by the time that first small town is going, there'll be thousands of small towns around the world, across the borders, across continents, thousands of small towns that will want to do the same as people realize how successful it's been in that one little town, and it'll become unstoppable. No government, no army will be able to stop it. It will be a force that we have never imagined could take the world by storm so quickly. It'll become a rapid revolution of consciousness and an action by conscious people to take back their liberties, take back their sovereignty without any violence, opposition, or conflict. It is already a beautiful thing. I'm seeing it unfold every day because I'm dealing with the mayors, with the councils, with the investors, with the opportunities that we're opening up, with the inventors of alternative energies, of healing modalities. We know we can cure every single disease imaginable. We know we can generate energy out of the ether. I have seen these machines. I know they exist, and we are now at a stage to put this all to good use in this first one small town. It's a beautiful thing to observe as it happens in front of my eyes every day and every week.
Do you know, it reminds me of like when you see in like concrete ghettos and so on, you see all of this concrete, and then you see small cracks where flowers are just pushing their way through the concrete against all odds, and just
flowering, and it's just
it is against all odds. It really is impossible for a plant to do that, and still they do it.
Oh man, you just brought tears to my eyes. You just reminded me of how resilient the human spirit is, and how resilient and unstoppable human nature is, the human nature to create, to survive, to love, to share. It's unstoppable, and we're now at a stage in our human evolution and the levels of rising consciousness and unity consciousness that we are becoming those flowers that are pushing through the concrete walls of our enslavement, and there's no stopping it.
This is one hell of a year. It's intense on so many different levels. And I would say the word hell is the wrong word to use here. It's one incredible year that is unfolding. And I think the Ubuntu movement is a beautiful part of the whole thing. I would like to thank you, Michael, once again for taking the time. Also, I wish you all the very best of luck with this project, and I'm really looking forward to see it spread everywhere. I'm going to do everything I can to spread knowledge about it. And like I said, if you want to go to that village, I'll set it up for you. You come here, stay with us, boom, I'll take you there, interpreter, I'll fix it. And in the meantime, could you please tell people how they can support you in what you want to accomplish, where they can find you, how they can contact you, and so on.
Thank you very much, Ole. Really lovely chatting to you, and thanks for this opportunity to share the Ubuntu philosophy with your listeners and with the world. Our main Ubuntu website is ubuntuplanet.org, ubuntuplanet.org. There's also ubuntuparty.org.za or ZA, ubuntuparty.org.za, You can find out all the information there. You can also join us. So what I ask people to do is, when you find us, when you discover Ubuntu, don't go out there running and try and tell everybody about it until you know enough. I know what happens to people. They get so inspired and so excited, they run out, they start telling people, and then the people talk them down and shout them down, and then they feel dejected and sad and depressed. So get a copy of the Ubuntu book. You can get it online or buy it on Amazon. It's available, and hopefully it'll be available in Spanish very soon and other languages as well already. Join us. Make sure you join us and get on the database when you go on our website. Find the Join Us form, and don't just join the news feed. That doesn't mean you're on the database. Make sure you fill in the form that puts you on the Ubuntu database. And then I ask you, just go and tell everyone about Ubuntu. Don't explain to them how it works. Tell them about it. And ask one person per month to join the Ubuntu movement, or influence one person every month to join the Ubuntu movement. Because if every Ubuntu member does that every month, that's all I'm asking them to do. Tell people about it, spread the message of Ubuntu and contributionism and one small town strategy, and then bring one person to join us every month. If everyone does that, this time next year, we will have 360 million members. And you can imagine how powerful movement that will be.
I don't know what to say except, yep, that is pure power. And also, I think the beauty of all of it is that we all have the truth inside ourselves, you know, in our hearts. If we quiet the mind, purify the heart will know what is right and what is wrong. So it's all there for us. It's just a matter, we know it. It's just a matter of us to wake up of this, break the spell, wake up and start fixing this beautiful planet that we live on. We've messed her up so much, and she needs healing, and so do all of us. So I want to salute you, Michael, as a true brother and warrior, but warrior for good and love and compassion. And I wish you all the very best. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Ole. The revolution of consciousness has begun, and there is no stopping it.
Amen to that.
Thank you so much for listening to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Take care and see you soon.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize.